Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
About 6 weeks ago, a 10-year-old boy, whose name is Xavier Cunningham, whose parents actually nicknamed Bear, was playing in a treehouse in Harrisonville, Missouri, when a swarm of yellow jackets began to attack him and his friends. Now, the boys ran down a ladder trying to escape, but when they did, Xavier tripped and fell. And when he did, he landed face first on a foot-long rotisserie skewer that the boys had found earlier that day and had stuck into the ground. The skewer went directly through his face, narrowly missing his left eye, his brain, and his spinal cord. And it stopped when it reached the back of his neck, just below his skull. Xavier was rushed to the hospital, and later that night, he was transferred to the University of Kansas Medical Center, where a team of 100 medical professionals began formulating a plan to try to save this boy's life. As the doctors prepared, Xavier's family turned to God in prayer, asking for healing that would require nothing short of a miracle. And Sunday morning, after hours of surgery, a miracle is exactly what they received. Over and over again, these doctors had told the family that there was a really good chance Xavier wasn't going to survive this surgery. But not only did he survive, he's expected to make a full recovery. One doctor, who is the director of endovascular neurosurgery, described the outcome as miraculous, saying, "I have not seen anything pass to that depth in a situation that was survivable. The trajectory of that skewer is essentially one in a million." I just can't believe that. So I share Xavier's story with you this morning to remind you to be on the lookout for miracles. God is at work in this world, and to introduce you to the faith of his Father. While Xavier's parents endured the agony of waiting to hear whether their son was going to live or die, Xavier's dad wrote down this prayer. He prayed, "My beloved Lord, my God, I do not know the plans you have for us. If it's your will to heal my son, I ask that you do so quickly. But if you take him, I will forever be honored that you allowed me to call him my son, my boy, my own Bear. I will still worship you, my king. I will draw strength from you as I grieve. I will take rest in knowing you love me. I will not forsake you, my God, my King. I will forever praise you. Please have mercy on us, your will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen." This father's heartfelt expression of faith is the goal of the Christian life. His prayer is a powerful reminder that saving faith is not merely an act of understanding, professing, or believing certain truths about God. St. James tells us that even the demons believe and tremble. Even demons would agree with much of what we profess in our Christian creeds. Demons believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in his only Son. But unlike Xavier's father, They don't know him as my beloved Lord, my God, my King. And they do not find their rest in the knowledge of his eternal love. Compare these examples, and the truth is clear. There is an infinite difference between believing and believing. And I would suggest that our gospel reading illustrates different ways that a person might believe. In the passage, we read about a certain nobleman who was surely facing his worst nightmare. This prominent nobleman may have been an officer of the king or even a man of royal descent. But his office, his power, his privilege, none of that mattered now. Because the most important title the nobleman held was that of father. And like Xavier's father, this nobleman was a dad whose child was at the point of death. At the beginning of this passage, that's what these two fathers have in common. They each have a child barely hanging on to life. And as we consider their stories and the very different way that they approach Jesus and petition him for his help, we begin to recognize the difference between believing and believing. For example, when you listened to the prayer of Xavier's father, it was easy to recognize the obedient, relational tone of his words. Xavier's father believes, and therefore he approaches Jesus in prayer for quick and miraculous healing for his son, for peace and comfort for his family, and in his prayer declares the truth that no matter the outcome, I will not forsake you. My God, my King, I will forever praise you. The nobleman, however, he came to Jesus because he simply had nowhere else to turn. He was a man who had heard of the many miracles Jesus had performed in Jerusalem, and as a father whose child was dying, he sought him out in desperate hope that he would come down and heal his son. So at this point, there is a great difference in what these fathers believe. But in the nobleman's weakness and desperation, what do we see? We see the grace of God. We see God's grace working, and we see the beginning of faith. With nowhere else to turn, the nobleman says to Jesus, "Come down before my child dies," not yet aware of the truth that he is addressing God. God doesn't have to come down to heal this man's son. God speaks the word only, and the father's son lives. This nobleman did not yet know our Lord, but by the grace of God, in this father's desperate appeal for his son, we see the smallest amount of faith. And you all know what our Lord does with the faith of a mustard seed, right? He casts mountains into the sea. Jesus said, "Go your way. Your son lives." And St. John tells us that the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. The nobleman heard the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and he believed. And then he responded, as we must. He took Jesus at his word and went his way. What a powerful reminder of the truth that we can't view the word of God as just another bit of good advice that we can accept or reject. We have to see God's word for what it is. Divine truth. A divine command that must be followed. As the nobleman traveled home in obedience to the word of God. His servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." And upon hearing that miraculous news, the nobleman asked immediately at what hour his son's condition began to improve. And as when his servant said that it was yesterday at the seventh hour that the fever left him, the father knew that it was at that same hour that Jesus had said unto him, "Your son lives." And here we are told once again, the nobleman believed, and his whole house. The way St. John repeatedly uses that word, believe, it documents this father's journey towards saving faith, and it emphasizes the truth that there is a difference between believing and believing. We find that it is not enough to believe in a second-hand or some sort of academic way that a man named Jesus lived and died and rose again. The Christian must, by grace, through faith, enter into a relationship with our Lord. Because truly believing, saving faith, it is a gift of the whole heart. So in the end, after this grace-filled, thoughtful process of seeking God, the nobleman gave his whole heart to the Lord. Notice, he'd asked questions. He'd received answers. He'd examined and re-examined every step along the way, and through much contemplation of God's miraculous work in his life, the nobleman came to know, trust, and love God. My friends, may we be so diligent as we seek greater understanding of God and more intimate union and communion with him. May we, in the example of these fathers, find assurance that we too can let our every trial and sorrow rest in the hands of Jesus, that we can trust those we love to his never-failing care, both in this life and the next. And may we always remember that saving faith is more than just believing the facts. Saving faith is an intimate knowledge of the truth. The truth whom God the Father sent down from heaven to live and die and rise to new life, to the end that he may save his children from death and lead us into the way of life everlasting. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.